At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Melvin from New York area.
Just give Kathy another hand. All we ever have to share is our experience, strength, and hope. I'm an addict. My name is Melvin. I'm clean by the grace of God and the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Want to thank God for grace and mercy. Want to thank God for doing for me what I wasn't able to do for myself. I'm talking about a God that came through the muck of the mind, the bowels of hell, to save an addict like me, and I'm eternally grateful. See, I'm real clear that I'm clean only by grace and mercy. Because if it would have been justice and still a grace and mercy, I believe I wouldn't be here. Because I wasn't smart enough to make the decision to stop using. Need to tell you that first I want to welcome anybody here that might be new, just coming back from a relapse. If you're here and you're new, I want to say welcome. I want to let you know that our message, the message of hope and the promise of freedom, that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. You never ever have to say yes when you want to say no again. Don't never have to go dirty places with dirty people ever again. Want to let you know that if you're here and you think you got a problem with drugs, you're in the right place. But if you're here and you don't think you got a problem with drugs, you're even in a better place. I want to welcome you to Narcotics Anonymous, the solution to active addiction. Kathy was over there. She had me under cross-examination. And she was asking me all these questions, and I said, relax, easy does it. Once you pray and you get out the way, let God do his job. You know, because the message, I believe the message that we carry is not our message. We got one message, and one message only is carrying a variety of different ways that we carry it. You know what I'm saying? I want to, once again, thank you. You know, I need to, first, I'm just going to share my topic because we are a vision of hope. But I need to tell you that I come from a place of a hopeless state of mind, body, and spirit. You know, I didn't have no hope when I got here. I need to tell you that I used calling and having fun, but I was trying to kill myself. Need to tell you on the end, I was smoking and I was crying. I was smoking and I was crying. My insides hurt. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop, man. Once I put one in me, all hopes were off. Need to tell you that I'm going to get down on a nickel, hope to die crackhead. No, for real, man. I need to say that because wasn't nothing fly about my story. Wasn't flipping no packages. I wasn't the man. I wasn't getting no plane flying to Peru or Colombia. Wasn't none of that. I'm going to get down on a nickel crackhead. Using was real difficult for me, man. I need to tell you that. I'm the regular customer at the spot. I use every day, all days, anything that you might think that could have happened, should have happened. Either I did it or I was on my way to do it. Because I got a vicious disease. Got a vicious disease that don't care nothing about where you come from. Thank you for sharing. You said you middle class, upper middle class. I ain't middle class, upper middle class, but I was all right. You know, because I say that to say I come from a family where, come from a two-parent household where I've never been homeless. I was homeless only by choice. I never rode on the subways. I never ate the garbage can. It's not my story, man. Came from a two-parent household. My mom and dad did the best they could. I've had a car at 16, brand new car at 21. I had stuff all my life. So things is not why I'm here. I'm telling you that I'm this little boy, and I'm growing up in the 60s, and I get my lust by the guy next door. And I also come from a family where children are supposed to be seen and not heard. You didn't speak lest you were spoken to. So I couldn't go to my mom and my dad and tell them what this guy next door was doing to me every day. So I'm telling you that I grew up and I was suffering and silent because there was a stigma that was attached to like if something happened to you, that it was your fault. Need to tell you the direct result of molestation. Molestation don't go away because you get a certain amount of clean time. Whether you work 12 steps or 12 traditions or 12 concepts of who your sponsorship family is, the disease of addiction, disease that is relentless, is always resurface. Need to tell you that I did a lot of stuff growing up. And part of the third step of the step working guide, it talks about we ran through relationships like tornadoes. But you see, as a result of being molested, I had to justify or validate my manhood. So I got with as many women as I possibly could to validate that I wasn't gay. I had to say that, Mel, you wasn't gay. That what happened to you wasn't your fault. So I ruined a lot of people's lives. Ruined a lot of people's lives, and as a result of doing a lot of stuff, man, I practiced a lot of behavior. I come from a place where I'm a people pleaser. I do things for you so you would like me. Didn't matter whether I liked you or not. The level of my level of self-acceptance was so low that I would do anything for you to be my friend. You know, and I did a lot of stuff growing up, and as I came around, when I first got here, I was dirty, greasy, nasty, filthy, man. My mama asked me a hard question one day. She said, "Boy, what is wrong with you?" Yo, true story. That's a difficult question for a practicing addict that hasn't been diagnosed with the disease of addiction. I thought I had a moral deficiency. I didn't know why life was happening the way it was happening. So when my mama asked me, "Boy, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Ma, I don't know." Because at the time, I knew something was wrong. I didn't have to wait to get to Narcotics Anonymous to find out there was something wrong with me. Because my mama didn't raise me or bring me up to be a crackhead. I stole and I robbed from my mom, my dad, and my children. I married a woman because crack said, "Get married and you'll stop smoking." I ruined her life. Wasn't nothing funny about it. I ruined her life because she loved me. And never once did I ask myself, "Melvin, do you love her?" I married her, made her life a living hell. I ruined her life, man. Only thing that came out of that marriage, we had two beautiful children. Two beautiful children. And sometimes I think about some of the stuff that had to happen. See, I'm real clear that everything that happened to me up to this point right here was necessary. See, God had already prepared me for the opportunity. See, God and grace met me at the crack spot. See, God knew way back then that I would be here this day. See, God knew I had purpose and meaning in life. He knew that I wouldn't always be a get down on a nickel crackhead. But there was some stuff that had to happen. God had to prepare me for the opportunity to be here. See, you don't become a vision of hope because you say you're a vision of hope. There's work and effort that required to be a vision of hope. Sometimes when I think about a vision of hope, I can't look through the human eye. I got to look through my spiritual eye and say, "Man, what has God prepared you to do?" See, I'm real clear that God, even in the crack spot, even in the midst of the desperation, that God had purpose and meaning on my life. But he had to prepare me for the opportunity. He had to make sure that I suffered exactly how I suffered. My suffering was designed exactly for me. Your suffering was designed exactly for you. On the end of the story, there was no more money. All the money was gone. I'm caught up in a place. I'm stuck on a corner of desperation and suicide. Want to stop, but I can't stop, man. I'm smoking out of a little stem. With a big ass scraper. I got a rubber spark plug thing I pull off my car. And I'm smoking and I'm burnt. And back then in 87, I had a jerry curl. I had a jerry curl in 87, man. That's the same year I married this woman I told you about. I came off the crack spot, man. I came off the crack spot to my wedding. Disease is relentless. It don't never want you to have nothing. It don't want you to be happy. Don't want you to have nothing in life, man. So I'm real clear that I always need to reflect on God's grace and mercy. Because don't none of this have to be like this. None of this. I thank God all the time. You will never hear me share, "Don't thank God for grace and mercy." Because I'm real clear, it was nothing else but grace and mercy. because I would have got what I rightly deserve. All the things that I did. Not only did I use drugs, I put myself in situations that if it had not been for the grace of God. When I got stabbed four times, because the money ran out, man. I went to the spot, I told them jokers, I said, listen, man, I got $4.50, you got to give me one more. The joker said, man, get out of here, crackhead. You know, I was always a fairly nice-sized guy. Z said, Mel, take they shit. For real, that's what he said, to take it, because they were smaller than me. I'm in a crack spot fighting these jokers, man. I get away with about four or five cracks, man. I go home, did a disease check in. It ain't tell me this shit before I did it. Right after they say, you live right around the corner. And one of the things I know about me, I'm a paranoid addict when I use. I'm paranoid on the first hit. I ain't got to use all day. I ain't got to use over and over. No, the first hit, I start geeking. And I always tell myself, Mel, go get in the shower so we can calm down. I would turn the water on. I would step into the shower. But what happens when I use, I hear exceptionally well. I'm in the shower and all this water is running. But I can't hear outside. I'm in the shower and I'm peeking out the shower curtain like this. Because I think I hear something. Paranoia is one of the reasons, one of the things I think about in active addiction, what keeps me here. Look, I don't need your story to keep it green for me. I haven't forgot utter desperation. I haven't forgot homelessness, joblessness, penniless, the despair, and the look on my mama's face when she said, don't tell nobody you my son. And if I forget all of that, at night when I take my clothes off, I got a big ass scar from here to here. Where them jokers that told you that took the cracks from, where they tried to gut me. Because after I went back to the house, the next day the disease said go right back to the same spot. Went right back to the same spot, man. Got stabbed four times. Got a big scar. Every now and then you see me do my hand like this because I got my hand split from the back to the front. If you look through the side of my face, I got like a cross on the side of my face where I got stabbed through the side of my jaw. So when I tell you that I'm grateful to be clean, that I'm grateful. So being a vision of hope is requires some work and effort. The last paragraph in the 12th step say, yes, we are a vision of hope. Yes, we are an example for the newer member that comes behind me. But what are you working with, though? What is your belief system? What are you passing on to the newcomer, Melvin? If I'm just talking out of the side of my neck, because sometimes, you know, we get around here, we talk about the people that talk about literature, Sammy. They want to talk about people that talk. Well, guess what? The literature is what my God and my blueprint to improve the quality of my life. This is where I get it from. It's through the literature that I learn how to be a real man. It's here that I learn how to be a father to my children. It's here that I learn how to grow up and mature in recovery. It's here that I learn to be a son to my mom. I learned that here. When I got here, I was 36 years old, but I was a little boy. Because I came from a place of hurt and abandonment issues. Thank God for step work. Fourth step told me, Mel, that you suffer from emotional abandonment issues. That's why none of your relationships work. Because when I reflect back over the course of my life, I come from a family where my father always gave monetarily. He always made sure I had money to attend the sporting events. But Sammy, I didn't want my father's money. I wanted the presence of my father at my football game. So here go Rob. Rob ain't get off the bench. Rob's uniform is clean as hell. But Rob's dad is there. And I'm looking at Rob and I'm envious of Rob because he got the presence of his father. So I'm suffering with all these illusions of what I thought my father should be and what he really isn't. It wasn't until I got here and I did step working 4 and 5 where my sponsor, thank God for the fifth step, because the fifth step let you know what's yours and what isn't yours. It was through my sponsor guidance that he told me, he said, well, Mel, your father got up 4:30 every morning to provide a house for 5 children. Look, I've never had the lights cut off in my house. Never went a day hungry. Never didn't have any clothes in the house. So my father had he was on assignment and he had a job to do. So although my father wasn't there monetarily at the sporting event, it was either go to the sporting events or make sure your family's taken care of. See, real men do real things. And some of the things that I've learned through that experience, although my father wasn't there and I suffered emotionally, because it takes another man to sharpen another man. I love the mothers that take care of children, but it really takes another man to sharpen another man. See, I didn't have that intimate relationship with my father. Even till today, I've never heard my father say that he loved me. My father, he's a soldier. He didn't believe in that hugging and that kissing. I love you, son. So my emotional stability was stunted as a result of not having the emotional attachment that I have for my father. Even some days today, I still look and do things for my father's approval. Now, mind you, if it be the will of God that this year I'll be 55 years old, so at 55 you think that even through 12 steps that Melvin, you should have some type of acceptance for what your father has done. But being a vision of hope has taken me to a new level. Because it talks about in here that we got to get comfortable with our own selves. You got to come to a point, Melvin, where you can live comfortable in your own skin. Because it wasn't always like that. I'm not the guy that walk around and try to people please motherfuckers no more. I just ain't. I don't hate to even say it like that, but the Spirit has allowed me to feel like that because I just don't. Because sometimes what it happens is when I put more into you than I put into myself, I'm always disappointed. Always disappointed. And I didn't say every once in a while. I'm always disappointed. Because when I can believe in you and I can't believe in me, something is wrong with that. Even if you're in a relationship and a joker tell you that he loved you more than he loved yourself, you need to run. Real talk. If somebody loves you more than they love themselves, you need to get out right now. Because the vision of hope allows me to understand that I'm the son of the king. That God has prepared me to be a man among men. That I can take my son that at 16 that didn't want to live with his mother, didn't want to listen to what his mother had to say anymore. Because of this program in 12 steps, said, Melvin, now it's your responsibility. She's done her part. Now your son, now you got to step to the plate and be a vision of hope for your children. Because most of the time, our children look at what we do, not so much what we say. Because I can tell my son a lot of stuff and my daughter a lot of stuff, but they watching how I'm walking. They watch Melvin, like, Daddy, how are you living? Like my son, he wants the finer things in life, but he's not willing to put the work and effort into it. So I bring my son to live with me. I get up, look, I don't know, look, I like nice stuff. I change one addiction to another. I work 6 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day. If they want me on a 7th day, I'm showing up. For real. Because the vision of hope, say, now, Melvin, now you got to be able to be an example for the younger men. I want my son, my young king, never to get to Narcotics Anonymous. There's a price to pay to be a practicing addict. So when my son come live with me, I show him how to get up 4:30 every morning. I show him how to get up, put one foot in front of the other, hit the pavement, go punch that clock. And I give him anything he wants. So sometimes even with that, because now he's 25 and he still think that he can get what he want. Because sometimes what I'm really saying to being a vision of hope, my little man, what I really understood because of the program, it taught me, Melvin, now you can formulate and stand upright to get outside and provide for himself and his own family. Because one of the things I told my son, I love you, but you will not live in my basement on my cot like I lived in my mother's basement. I lived in a cot in my mother's basement for a lot of years, man. A lot of years. And one of the things that the program I've come to understand that as God has blessed me, as my blessings have come along, my blessings are not even a blessing if I don't use my blessing to help somebody else. Because guess what? If you hear, God ain't even get you clean for you. This is not even about you once you get clean and stay clean, especially if you got 12 steps. Especially the 12-step member. Our symbol talks about, if you look at our symbol, it has two lines around the symbol, the inner and the outer circle. Everybody always talk about the inner circle, which has room within for all manifestation of the recovering addict. But the outer circle denotes the esoteric connotation for the members that's willing to do the extra work to move to the next level in recovery. So now the program say, Mel, now the reason I've never been homeless, never been jobless, wasn't because of me. I don't take no credit. I'm talking about two loving and caring parents. But if you stay clean long enough and your parents live to be alive long enough, both of my parents are sick. Both of my parents are sick. I'm on vacation for 2 weeks. So when I leave here on Sunday, my daughter's a student at Norfolk State University. I'll be in Norfolk about 2 or 3 days. When I leave there, I'm going to Chesterfield, Virginia to sit and be with my senior citizen parents. Stand up and be a vision of hope, Melvin. Your parents did for you what you wasn't able to do for yourself. So now because they're sickly, mom's been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. Dad got Alzheimer's. Now the program say, Melvin, now you got to be there for your parents even when your other siblings ain't showing up. Why? Because God had already gave me an appointment and assignment. Because see, after 12 steps, you on assignment. You got the assignment to do. You got a responsibility and an obligation to give back what God has so freely given to you. And when he give back, it's not all the time in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So when I leave here, I'm going to sit with my dad who has Alzheimer's, and some days he know I'm there and some days he's don't. Now mom's died, now Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer, they're taking care of dad with the Alzheimer's. So when my mom's diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer, she called the crackhead. She said, crackhead, come here, I got something to tell you. Real story. She called me. I'm the second older of 5 children. I got 2 brothers that lived in the same household. And she called me, man. Understand? She called me, the crackhead that God has picked up. She said, listen, man, I got something I got to tell you, man. And my mama sat me down and she told me that what the diagnosis was. And she wanted me to go to the doctor with her. She said, I want to go to the doctor with me, man. And I want you to sit with the doctor and chart out my course of what I should do. She left it to me to make a decision about her health condition, man. That's not that I thought that would happen to me once I got clean. That's not what I signed up for. But you hear me? That's not what I signed up for. But God had a bigger plan. I was working 2 jobs. I went to my job and I told them my mama's sick, man. They said, well, Mr. Moore, we can't afford to let you go right now. I said, no problem. The power of the pen. I resigned from my job effective immediately. Resigned from my job. Go sit with my mama because I heard somebody earlier today talking about cancer. Because see, a lot of times the things and the situations we go through, we think it's for us, but it's really not for us. See, God has prepared you to be a vision of hope for somebody else. See, God allow you to go through some things, through some hurts, through some trials and tribulations, and it may not even be for you. God has set you up. That's why we come here to share our experience, strength, and hope, because you don't never know what somebody else might be going through. It's your experience that might help save somebody else. So God has sent me to a place where he said, Melvin, now I'm be there for your mother. Now I go to radiation and chemo, and I sit in the room for 3 hours while my mom's getting chemo and my brothers is sitting home in the house and I'm angry and I want to know why they can't do it. But thank God for sponsorship. They say those who utilize sponsorship get the most out the program. Not a sponsor on fifth step and you on three. No, we should get a sponsor that, a narcotics anonymous sponsor that has gone through 12 steps. Because it was my sponsor that it was able to point out to me what my responsibility was. He said, Mel, now you are spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive. Now you got to do for somebody else what God has done for you. It don't necessarily mean that it be one of us. He said, now go be there for your mother. Now be there on your day. Look, day in Chesterfield, Virginia, I'm in New York. Every other month, I'm up and down the highway. Every other month, because I know one thing for sure, that one day, they're going to leave here. And when they leave here, I know in every fiber of my body, I've been the best son that I could be. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. I've done mine and then some. So when I leave here on Sunday, I'm going to go see my daughter. I'm going to go sit with my elderly parents, and I'm going to be a vision of hope for them. Because whatever time that God has allowed them to be here, I'm going to do everything. Hear me now. I said I would do everything to make sure their final days will be the best that it can be. When I say everything, I'm not just talking about sitting with them. I'm talking about I'll give you my money. I'll give you my time. Whatever you want, mommy and daddy, I will give it to you. I'll give it to you, man. Being a vision of hope, Mel said, now you got to do the stuff that don't even sometimes feel comfortable. It ain't about feeling comfortable. Because in Living Clean, it talks about change. Change is not what you're going to get, but what are you willing to give up? You keep asking God for something. All the time you're begging God for something. What are you willing to go do for God? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to do something different? If I'm willing to go to God and just ask God, just tell God, thank you. Not for nothing specific, nothing, just thank you. What about just thanking him for one more day? Because you see, when I laid down this morning and I got up this morning, it wasn't the alarm clock that woke me up. I'm real clear about that. So I want to thank this committee, man, for giving me an opportunity to once again to express my love for this program. I may sound kind of loud or kind of excited, but I got a passion for Narcotics Anonymous. A program that changes lives. I tried a lot of different ways to get clean. Nothing worked for me, man. Nothing worked for me but Narcotics Anonymous. Nothing I won't do. Nowhere I won't go for this program. Look, I'm a happy, proud, recovering natty that has come in here and embraces the principles of the program so it can change my life. I'm no longer the same person I was when I got here. Through 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 concepts of NA service, and you lovely people, and the God of my understanding has transformed me. Transform means that once I go and I leave from this body and I'm no longer can go back to the same joker that I used to be. I could never go back to the lowdown, get down on a nickel, hope to die crackhead I used to be, because now I've been informed. I have 12 steps, so even if I choose to go back out, it'll never be the same again. So I wish a peace upon each and every one of you that only Almighty God himself can give. That with or without material things, with or without a relationship, can you still be comfortable in your own skin and be a vision of hope? Thanks for letting me share.